Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Nortman.
Live from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, it's Kyle Bruston-Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Alex Strofe's running the show. Get into the show at 800-990-3776, the Cardless Talk and Text Line. And, of course, on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Shout-out to Rick and Madison, who gives us a shout-out of good job, guys, for helping get the over on over-under. You are welcome, Rick. It didn't feel like it after because we were arguing, but we did win.
Yeah, we did win. I love y'all.
Yeah. Nux. Now, Brad, talk about, from your experience, when you look at a championship roster. Now, it's funny when I say that because you actually didn't win a championship. But you did go to the AFC Championship. You did go to the Super Bowl. You've been around championship caliber teams. Mm-hmm. That's how I should probably phrase it.
Yeah.
What do you look for in the expectations from your players?
Yeah, you know, one thing that I've observed from every good to great team I've ever been on is that, you know, any given roster is into tiers, right? You've got like a tier one, tier two, and tier three as far as caliber and expectations and production of guys. Great teams have their guys play at a tier above where they normally are. What does that mean? If you're like a tier three player, you're kind of like a special teamer or backup, you play at a tier two level. Now, this one is key. If you're a tier two player, like you're just a general starter on offense or defense, a tier two starter plays like a tier one player, and the tier one players, who are like your name brand household guys, they play like they're all pros. When that happens, basically there is a cumulative raising of your game. That is when championship teams happen, particularly in football. So I look at this team.
I think in all sports.
Yeah.
I can resonate. I was just starting to think, like, who were the stars and how did they elevate and how did that elevate everyone else when I was playing?
Or yep.
When you look at the Brewers, like, did their stars elevate in the playoffs
yeah.
to the level that they needed to play to beat, like, a Dodgers team? Like, I think that's a very fair mm-hmm. way to look at a team from a long-term perspective of what you need.
Right. And like, we spend a lot of real estate on Jordan Love and Micah Parsons and Josh Jacobs. And we should, right? Because those guys are among your, you know, Parsons and Jordan Love. Like, those guys are your tier one. If the Packers have any chance to win a Super Bowl, those tier one guys, they got to play at an all-pro level. I don't think anybody argues against that. But what is usually not talked about as much as your tier two players, your regular starters, they got to play like tier one players. That's what really makes the difference between, you know, good teams to really truly great and elite teams. So my question to you guys is, what tier two player on the Packers needs to be playing at a tier one level to actually have a realistic chance for an NFC championship game or Super Bowl for this team?
Well, it's a great question. And I think, what if we made it like this? I think that Rashawn Gary mm-hmm. is the tier two player that should be playing as a tier one player. And he should actually be in the tier one based off how he's paid.
Yes, he should.
But I guess outside, maybe it's outside of Jordan Love and Micah Parsons. Is Rashawn Gary the most important Packer to their success? Because, like, you could go down, you could say Josh Jacobs, but, like, We know he is. Like, you need somebody like Rashawn to know what you're going to get out. You know what you're going to get from Josh Jacobs. Now, whether yeah. Matt LaFleur does a better job of marrying his successes with Jordan Love's, that to me is on the coach. But from a pure player standpoint, 800-990-3776, the Carpus Talk and Text Line, outside of Love and Parsons, who's the most important player for the success of the team?
Yeah, I think a lot of you guys were thinking Rashawn Gary, okay? And the thing with me with Rashawn Gary is I understand how important he is, but I've given up on Rashawn Gary and expecting something different to happening. What's the definition of insanity? What? Expecting this, doing the same thing and expecting different results. Well, at the end of the day, Rashawn Gary is an above average football player. He's a very good football player, but he's not an elite pass rusher. He's not an elite player. Hell, he can't even be on the field for a whole bunch of snaps. And to me, if he was that good, right? Michael Parsons is on the field for 80% of the snaps for the Green Bay Packers. This season. Why? It's simply because of the fact we need him on the field after week one. You take away that. that. We need him on the field because he's a disruptive force for the Green Bay Packers. If Rashawn Gary was a disruptive force for the Green Bay Packers, he would be on the field more. So a guy that I believe that needs to go from a B player to an A player, it's Edgerrin Cooper. We had such high hopes going into the season for what he could be, especially based off the little sample size that we had last year. Last year, only playing in a few games, he had 56 blitz opportunities. He had 7.5 pressures. Excuse me, he had 12 pressures. He ended up with 3.5 sacks. He made a difference for this Green Bay Packer football team. Not saying he's not playing well this year, but we're talking about guys who need to take that next step. He is not the best linebacker in the NFC North. He's not the best linebacker in the NFC, and we were expecting him to potentially be that type of guy this year. He's not even leading the team in tackles this year at that linebacker position. He only has a half sack. So if the Green Bay Packers want to continue to make a difference and make a run, yes, Rashawn Gary needs to improve, but I'm believing in Edgerrin Cooper based off his potential and ability to be that next guy. So I'm putting my hope in Edgerrin Cooper to continue to get better and to turn the season around. And you saw the difference he could make when he forced that fumble a couple weeks ago on Hurts. That was a big-time play. We need more big-time play from a big-time player like Edgerrin Cooper.
Well, Stevie, I don't want your head to fall off, but yes, we know that Kyle loves to say the Green Bay Packers and this football team. It's one of your favorite things to do.
Packers and this football team?
Yeah, it's one of your favorite things to do. I actually love it.
I'll work on this.
This football team.
I love it.
The Green Bay Packers and this football team.
I want to say my team because it is my team, my owner.
You're an owner.
I like that answer. It is Rashawn Gary. He's again, with the way you brought that up in the front end, Brad, about like the guys that need to elevate with where they're at. Cooper's so young, like that you're still in year two trying to figure out his consistency. This guy is getting paid at his age to be a top 15 rate of a pass rusher. Mm-hmm.
Are you asking him to be something he is
not? I'm asking him to live up to his contract.
But also, they put the contract in his face. He ain't going to say no.
They put that contract in his face because he's shown he can have 3 sack games. Like, stuff like that doesn't happen on accident in the NFL. He's had it happen multiple times where you're like, all right, we know you have it in you. We need it out of you more consistently if we're going to be this team where everyone's raising each other above.
What is that? I'm on camera. Zero. That's how many double-digit sack seasons he's had.
But Kyle,
zero.
You also are the one who had him as an all-pro before the season.
Yeah, listen. I thought that it was because of the fact that he did not have another elite defensive lineman with him. Kenny Clark is a very good football player, but he is not elite. So I thought with having Micah Parsons, who we saw last week have a tackle, a tight end, and a running back blocking him, you would think that that would free up Rashawn Gary for more one-on-one battles from him to win, and unfortunately, that has not been consistent. He started off like a rocket as he started this football season, and he has come back down to earth, and unfortunately, that will negatively impact this football team if he does not play up to the potential that we thought he had. At the end of the day, I'm just thinking that Rashawn Gary has shown us who he is. He's a good pass rusher, but he's not an elite pass rusher.
Yeah. Real quick, yeah. Matthew also chimes in on Kyle-isms. As we know, I like to use
words,
and I use a word, and I overuse it for a week, and then I get a new word. Matthew, Kyle loves to say he needs to take the next step.
Ain't no steps available for Rashawn.
A lot on the Carbless Talk and Text Line and YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. There's one name that I think is fair to add to this conversation.
Who is that?
Christian Watson
is
a guy.
That's the other one I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
And I'll make an argument for Christian Watson. Yes, Rashawn Gary, and yes, Edgerrin Cooper, but one of the things that you look back, when you look at so many true Super Bowl contenders, is they have a number one pass catcher. Now, that could come in the way of a tight end or a wide receiver. You know, because of Mahomes and Brady and Kelce and Gronk, it's come in the way of a tight end. And we found ours. We found the Tucker Kraft tight end one, pass catcher one, and he has left a major void in this passing game. If there's anything that I'm learning about watching this team the last couple weeks, is that the plague of drops has not escaped this team. Mm-hmm. Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed was dropping balls last year and a little bit before he got hurt. Matthew Golden hasn't been, completely acclimated into the game plan for whatever reason. There needs to be a number one pass catcher that strikes fear into the heart of your defense and that Jordan Love can get into rhythm with. The reality is this defense is going to hold teams to lower points, but you got to score points. Your offense needs to be rolling, and I just have little faith in this run game to magically turn it around. So if I could look at Christian Watson, who has wide receiver one and first-round draft pick type skills, and we've seen flashes.
Essentially he was the 32nd or 33rd,
early
to or
yeah,
34th overall pick.
Almost a first-round draft pick, and we've seen flashes to where he is doing things that other receivers can do. So if he becomes a Tier 2 player, a B player that plays like an A player, boy, that elevates Jordan Love, that elevates this offense, it takes the top off of things. Christian Watson is somebody that changes this offense.
We got Christian Watson, we got Rashawn Gary, we got Edgerrin Cooper.
Yeah, I think you're asking somebody to play out of a position that they just aren't. I don't see Christian Watson as a number one wide receiver. I think he's an electric wide receiver, a dynamic, big play guy, and obviously he can make some great catches and drop
passes.
Yeah, but I just don't see him being that guy.
But the object of this is, in order for them to be what you ultimately want them to be, the Christian Watsons and the Rashawn Garys have to play better and more consistent.
But you're asking them to be something they're not.
Based off the fact that Tucker Kraft is out and Jaden Reed has been out, people have to elevate, and he's shown the most potential to be someone to elevate.
But I get it.
And that's what makes special season special, because even for like that Carolina,
I don't disagree with what you're saying. We're just judging them on a higher scale if they're going to get to where you and others think they can be.
So I guess for me, I'll look at it as, okay, who realistically has the ability to raise their game to a whole nother level?
Well, then you're scaring me if you're putting a lot of they can't do it, because you need all of them to.
When I think of this offense, I mean, honestly, I guess I want to say Matthew Golden, but I don't know. And maybe it's Jaden Reed when he comes back, and would that be too late? I think we've seen the
He's
ceiling.
He's arguing with himself.
No. I'm processing. Christian
the
Watson.
The brain is scrambling.
Christian Watson coming back from the ACL injury when he did was a blessing. It was an absolute blessing for this Green Bay Packer football team. I don't think they win last week's game without Christian Watson. But I just don't see him being a guy that's going to get 10 targets in a game and go for 98 to 115 yards
Kyle,
be a stud.
If I may, that's the point. Because in 2015, I'm going to give you a name that you guys have never heard of probably. His name's Kurt Coleman. He was the safety on our Panther team, right? Before that, he was like a special teams guy. He'd play safety, but never really like an entrenched starter in the NFL. Panthers signed him on like a one-year deal, right? And came in, great guy, awesome dude. And he had 7 interceptions that year.
Damn.
He was a Pro Bowler. And like a guy like that is a complete unexpected all-star on your team that was already full of a bunch of studs. In order to have a special team, you got to have guys like that. That he's a guy that you didn't expect to be a
that
stud.
That actually makes me feel
playing
even
at
worse
a stud
now.
Level.
Does that make you feel worse?
Where's Nate Hobbs at?
Where's the guy come out of nowhere? Honestly, though, those are names that you can say there is.
McCall Hartman, where you at? Actually, we probably should have kept him.
He did fumble though.
He played the Bills.
Yeah, and he's out tonight. So he played one game, had a good return, fumbled, and then he got hurt.
Hell, I take a good return.
Strofe, do you got anyone that comes to mind, or of the options, who do you think has the best potential to sort of raise their game in a level the Packers need them to?
Yeah, I like all the names you guys brought up. I would just say a name that we've allowed to fly under the radar consistently.
Evan Williams?
Same room. Xavier McKinney, I don't think anybody mentioned, right?
I think he's playing at a great level.
Yeah, but you guys, the question is Jordan Love, Micah Parsons, and then who?
Who needs to raise their game?
If he could return to 2024 form with turnovers, especially.
I don't even think it's that, Brad. I think he's playing excellent. I think teams are just avoiding him. The Packers, one thing about this Green Bay Packers team, they do not allow huge explosive plays. What you saw happen with the touchdown that Devontae Smith got over Evan Williams, that is a rarity with this Green Bay Packers football team because of who they have as safety. So I think he's doing an excellent job roving in the back.
You know who always rises to the occasion? Whatever you need, whatever your home is, whatever your budget is, it's Gina Della from Pella and the amazing offers they give at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
I mean, you talk about Tier 1, you talk about All-Star. That comes to mind when you think about Gina Della from Pella at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The weather's getting cold out there, folks. I don't even need to tell you that. That way, when you feel that draft come in through the doors and windows, you shouldn't be surprised, and it should motivate you to experience all that Pella Windows and Doors can offer. Right now is the best time to do it. 0% interest for 72 months? That's 6 years? 6 years from now is the 2030s. That is a long time to play 0% interest and enjoy everything that those Pella Windows and Doors will offer your home. Increase your home value. Decrease that energy cost. Transform your home from the inside out. give them a call today. Visit PellaWI.com or visit the Experience Center in Brookfield and see everything that Pella Windows and Doors has in store for you.
Jason Wilde joins us next. We'll see what he has to say.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
These hands are not made for fixing anything in a house. I make a phone call, and I'm cheap, but I ain't that cheap. I got my guys. Got my handyman. Shout out to Chris. Under the table.
Just like that, dude's getting audited now.
Yeah. On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Yeah, I don't know.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
This is like me announcing that I'll be on Wildey's couch tomorrow. I mean, God willing, if the creek don't rise.
Holding everybody accountable.
You play to your strength, and their strengths, if their offensive line can block the right people.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Bruston Nortman. Tell me now, do you want it? Because these dancing
feet don't cry to the rhythm. Live from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's amazing sports book, it is Kyle Bruston Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Joining us now is Jason Wilde of Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon every Monday through Friday. You're Jason all across these airwaves and on YouTube, everywhere you go. Jason, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. We had
doing well.
Doing well. Damn, that's I'm well, like one for my last well. Three on doing well, doing wells. We had a pretty good discussion. I want Brad to paint the picture for you.
Yeah, Jason, I was just kind of reflecting on all the great teams that I've been on, if it was a great team. And I guess I made the observation that whatever tier you're in, you play at a level above that tier. So, for instance, if you have a makeup of a team, right, you got tier one guys, tier two, tier three. The tier three guys kind of play up to a tier two level. The tier two guys play up to a tier one level, and the tier one guys play at like an elite or all pro level. So that prompted us to discuss, you know, you've got Love, you got Micah Parsons. Those guys are your tier ones, and if you're going to have any sort of championship run, those guys got to play elite. But if we're looking at the tier two guys, or basically anybody outside of those, who needs to raise their game in such a way that they are a tier two player, but they're playing at a tier one type of output?
God, this sounds like a Jesse Nelson talking about his friend.
Friendship. He's having flashbacks to the wedding.
First of all, like, this is not uncommon, right? I mean, I think even GKB once upon a time, we had a slogan that was play to the level above you. And the whole idea was to elevate your game. And so, you know, obviously, like, to your point, Brad, everyone's always trying to do that. That's kind of part of your job, right? A special teams guy wants to be rotational on offense or defense. A guy who rotates in and out on offense or defense wants to be a starter. A starter wants to play at a Pro Bowl level. A Pro Bowler wants to play at an all-pro level. So I think it's an interesting concept. My issue is that I think we've probably been guilty at times of putting guys in a level higher than they belonged, right? Like Rashawn Gary. I had a nice conversation with Luke Musgrave today, but, you know, the outside perception is that he's not playing at a very high level, and he feels good about what he's done. So what does that tell you? Like, I'm intrigued by the idea, but, you know, I think at times, you know, the issue is that we maybe think a guy is a higher level than he is, and he may actually be playing at the absolute best he can, and we're expecting him to play at an even higher level. Like Rashawn Gary, I don't know what level we expect him to play at, but the last three games, as we've talked about, and him not being a high snap guy, makes you wonder kind of what his actual level is.
I think that's a great point, Jason. But, Jason, also, I saw some rumblings that Josh Jacobs may be back. So, should the level of optimism for Packers fans to see Jacobs on Sunday be a little bit higher now?
It should be, but at the same time, I was part of that conversation with him. We talked to him for about 15 minutes. He's great, man. Like, most players would go to the PR staff and ask them if they need to talk. Josh Jacobs went to the PR staff to make sure it was okay that he did talk.
That's great.
To us. So that's the kind of stand-up guy he is. That's why he's won the Mully Award. I would say this. The most interesting part of the conversation with him was when, not that the question was some sort of genius question, even though it did come from me, It was the fact that is there a thought process of maybe I can play, but should I play, especially with a quick turnaround for the Lions game on Thursday? Uh-huh. And so I think that's kind of what he's grappling with right now. And I don't know where he's going to land on that, frankly. I think
what do you think he should land, Jason? You've seen a lot of football, and guys go out there when they're not 100%.
Yeah, I think, you know, with the type of injury this is, where it's a bruise, and if he bangs it again, it's going to swell up again, and he will not be ready for Thursday. And keeping in mind my default setting of not being a risk taker and a helicopter parent, I would tell him, hey, man, we got you. Emmanuel can handle it. Chris Brooks can handle it. We'll call up Pierre Strong from the practice squad, but you get right because we're going to need you in Detroit. So that is what I would do, and I would even say, look, I know you want to be out there, and I know you think, you know, we have a better chance to win when you're out there, and everyone except Josh DiMaggio and Gabe Knights will agree with you, but I think we also have to think about the long-term play here, and not only do we have to think about Thursday, but there's five more games after that. So I would personally say, let's be smart and not do this, but he said if he feels like he's able to play, he's playing. He's not going to think that way.
Jason Wilde joining us here on Kyle Bruston-Ortman live from Pottawatomie Casino Hotels Sportsbook. 18 deep on the injury report is over a third of the 52-man roster.
Oh, he no math, Jason.
Just tell me what you make of that.
And I'm not – Matt LaFleur is definitely not breaking any rules by doing that. Let me be very clear. But I personally think that he just wants to make sure that he never gets into any trouble, so he puts everybody on there.
Like, it's kind of the vibe I
think the number can obviously be – it's daunting and jarring, but I also think it's misleading. I really do. And so you know, I think there are guys on there that aren't going to play, for sure. But, you know, take a guy like Savion Williams, who's still walking around in his boot, his orthopedic boot. He's going to play. Now, how much is he going to play? I don't know. But Luke Musgrave, is he going to play? Lucas Van Ness, is he going to play? I don't know. It sounded like he was going to play last week, and then he didn't. The guy that I'm really intrigued by besides Josh Jacobs is Quay Walker. Like, Quay Walker's the quarterback on defense. He's got the green dot. Like, he's having one of his best seasons. Like, you know, if you don't have him, how does that change things? That's, to me, of all those other names, I think most of them, if not all the others, will play, but it's Jacobs and it's Quay that are on the top of my list.
Jason, going back to Josh Jacobs, I'm just curious, how do you project this offense changes without Josh Jacobs in the lineup?
Well, that's a question for Gabe and for Josh DiMaggio because they're convinced that the offense will be better without him. Look, the only thing that I would push for, and there wasn't a good opportunity to have this conversation with Josh today, is that I'm just curious as to the idea of, you know, can the coaches say, look, in order to do some of the other things we want to do offensively, we want to run more outside zone. We want to run more, under center instead of shotgun. Yeah. So I don't know if those are conversations. These are the kind of things that, like, I try to avoid asking in a group, whether it's with the assistant coaches or with a player, because I want to get a more earnest answer. And, I did ask him a couple weeks ago about it, and he kind of did a little bit of a dance, which told me that what I was asking is probably true, that he prefers shotgun or that he prefers duo. And my follow-up was going to be, if he had acknowledged that, okay, how comfortable are you if they say, come to you and say, Josh, we need to do things a little bit differently here. We want to do this, so that, and the next thing. But I never got there because he never really answered in the affirmative that those are his preferences. But I just read him as that's probably what he feels but didn't want to say.
Well, Jason, we appreciate the time and all the insight. I'll be listening to Wilde and Tausch. We'll hear you on the Homer Hour, Green Bay Game Day, and Green Bay Game Night and all the likes. Well, and Sunday Karma coming up in the Chicago game now. I just, as a note, that's Flex 325.
Oh, that's right. Mm. That means I worked that morning now.
Yeah. Welcome to the party.
Mm. I did not see that news, so thanks for breaking that news to me.
You are welcome. Thanks, Jason.
Look at that Big J journalist and Ben Pro.
I might have missed Ireland, but
that
I got the flex.
Playing in Ireland. Exactly. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. Listen, Jason Wilde and Tausch.
He was good today. Real good today. Real good today.
I mean, he was, and I just is more so he agreed.
He agreed with me today. He did. Me and Jason were in sync today. Man, Wilde and Tausch, what a great week for them. Wilde was good earlier this week.
Rob,
Tausch was
too,
great.
You were,
man, maybe I'm a Big J. My goodness.
You are the furthest thing.
You can't be a
Packer backer, the green and gold, do everything, and be a Big J.
I know you ain't saying I'm the furthest thing from anything.
Well, I don't get it.
You broke news, and the news turned out to be fake.
I was a part-time.
Fake news.
I was a
part-time
Big J. And then I retired. Uh-huh. I may come back out of retirement.
No,
we'll
please
see.
Don't. Please
don't. I'm waiting on my next scoop.
The field that my selfish stroke got a degree in deserves more integrity than what you could offer.
Oh, man, you're a journalism degree?
I am.
Oh, that's
Are
a
you
shocker.
Really?
What did y'all think I went to school for?
Never,
business?
You guys never would have known that.
Not journalism.
What did y'all think?
Based off the way you talk here, I never would have known.
Well, I get a chance to be a fan here. I can be balanced. Even. I report facts. All I give is facts. Everything's based off of numbers and facts. Now, I give you my opinion based off the facts. I'm not here to tell y'all what y'all want to hear or don't want to hear. I'm here to tell y'all what I think.
And now we've reached fake
psychology major Kyle Wallace.
Yeah. For real, what did y'all think I got a degree in?
I'm going to think about that and get back to you on the other side.
Crazy?
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
I said, baby, we got to do more sucking. And so I called the company. I said, listen, y'all put this thing in here. Y'all need to come on.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
All right, time to get everyone excited about the biggest news of the game on Sunday. Kyle, what's your guess about the biggest news on Sunday?
The biggest news on Sunday about our game?
Yeah.
Real
Packer
quick.
Game.
Packer game.
Go.
He's an owner.
Jordan Love going to be cooking. I don't know what
close,
the biggest
Brad.
News. J.J. McCarthy stinks.
Farther. Strofe.
Josh Jacobs might play.
No, Strofe, you wrote this in your show.
Toyota-thon. Yeah, he's leaning in, too. Goodness. Jordan Love is leaning into the Toyota-thon.
Well, he's leaning in.
Yeah, I mean, he's an endorser. I mean, yeah. Like, Strofe's mad he didn't get the package.
Merry Toyota-thon with our boy J. Love.
11-5 record, 28 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, 68.3% completion percentage, and 110.7 passer rating.
When?
During
Toyota-thon?
16 games of Toyota-thon.
It is remarkable how he turns it on second half.
So do you believe that Toyota-thon is real?
Hell yeah. How can you argue with those numbers? You can't just stumble your way into those kind of numbers in the NFL.
That's 16 games of sample size of Toyota-thon.
There's something that happens.
No free ads, though.
Yeah, of course.
Shout out Zimbrick European off the belt line, Rimrock Road.
There's something that happens between Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love and this offensive rhythm and a little bit of sense of urgency that brings us all together right when the Packers need it. I fully expect Jordan Love to have a super strong end of the season. Do I expect him to have those caliber numbers?
Why not? You just said you believe in it.
Well, I do.
You said you believe in it.
The magic of Toyota-thon lives and reigns.
Yeah, something about
Car-a-thon
Jordan.
Car-a-thon
here.
Car-a-thon, yeah. But looking at Jordan
Love-a-thon.
Love, Packers.com had a great story about Jordan Love. During this time, the last 8 games of the season, Jordan Love has thrown for almost 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions in the final 8 games.
It's consistent.
He's very good. And so one thing about Jordan Love that we have learned, and he hasn't had that issue this year, which is tremendous growth. It seemed like
about the turnovers.
Well, it was something.
Since the interception called back and the interception that was not picked off, but it was a bad throw, and then the Cleveland game,
again, there hasn't been a lot of like, oh, hold your breath. And I think we can get past that because of what he's shown.
And really quick, and every quarterback has that, right? I mean, Josh Allen has bad games. Patrick Mahomes have bad moments. So Jordan Love is not immune to it, but he has certainly minimized it.
Yeah, he does minimize it. That's why when I look at this, again, I think about the progress. And what I love about Jordan Love is his ability to correct and get better. Last season, I want to say through the first 8 games, 10 games, he had, what, 9 interceptions, 10 interceptions, I think it was. And then all of a sudden, through the back end, he was able only to throw 1 interception, and the interception was just a bad pass, wasn't a bad decision. So overall, from Jordan Love, this is the time that he starts heating up. And it's something about this Green Bay Packer team, especially under Matt LaFleur, where remember, once they get to November, December, this team starts winning a lot of football games, and I look forward to seeing that again. When you add in what LaFleur has been able to do and what we've seen for Jordan Love on the back end of the season, starting with last week, what he was able to do against the Giants, leading us back after getting injured in the first half, I feel good about Jordan Love and the carathon that he is part of.
Thank you. Is interesting. I tell this to Lexi all the time in our marriage. Lexi, I might not be able to get it right, but baby.
I love Lexi.
I do love Lexi. I'm coachable.
I'm coachable. You do not say
I guarantee you, Brad, when he gets frustrated, he takes a deep breath and listens. He said, I ain't going to get it right every time, but here's the great thing about me. I'm coachable.
Yeah, if you tell me, hey.
Good man right there. I never.
One thing recently has been, I've been forgetting.
In all aspects of your relationship?
All aspects.
All right.
All aspects. One thing recently is she wants me to take our kitchen sink and, you know, get all the food out of there. I'll clean my plate. I'll put it in the dishwasher.
And you'll leave the residue?
I'll go, like the food residue.
What a flop.
And every once in a while I forget. and she's like, Brett, I've told you before. You gotta clear out the food. And I was like, okay, you're right. Guess what's never happened since a couple of good, strong coaching points? That sink is crystal clear.
He
and Jordan simp. Love is the same
Nah, he
way.
Ain't no simp. I can't
believe
Brad
I'm a happily married man.
That. Yeah, he is a happily married man. You hear that, everybody?
Isn't it funny? Like,
and Jordan Love's coachable.
I came home yesterday after doing the digital-only weekly wager, which will re-air tonight, I believe. And she had left some dishes, so she unloaded the dishwasher. I was like, I used to just never think about it. And then I did the dishes, and I was like, I never would have done this ever in my life. They have a way.
Well, you never would have did what?
They mold the
like just like came home. I've been like, oh, I just work. I don't need to do the damn dishes.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I just like I'm a robot.
You're
now.
Being molded, Ben. You're being molded into the form of
losing my independence.
Oh, yeah, that's what marriage is, buddy.
That's why
I waited until I was 35 to, you know,
wait till you're 11 years in. Is there still stuff that comes up
11 years later?
Hell yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. Oh, sure. You just get more detailed. Less volume because you've already been so molded.
Oh,
those first 5 years, boy, you get coached up hard. Hard coaching.
I wasn't ready. You were a good 22, 24-year-old because, boy, 24-year-old Kyle being coached. Listen, I'm sick of all this lip, okay? All this talk. Stop all that nagging. I told a girl before, listen, I don't do naggers, so you need to stop with all that nagging.
Yeah.
Y'all don't get that. You get it?
Yeah.
All that nagging.
It's it's probably just like, in our, you know.
Oh, not, I mean, she doesn't nag. I'm talking about other people nagging.
It's just nag at all.
You can't have that.
Oh, no. Baby girl's perfect.
Good answer.
I wouldn't have popped the question if she wasn't. She's perfect.
Perfect.
As my phone keeps vibrating, I hope it's not her.
If she's perfect, then I hope that you are certainly coachable like Jordan Love is, right? I mean, you take baby girl's coaching.
Yeah, I do take her coaching.
With no lip after her?
How much coaching do you give her?
I coach now. Don't get it twisted. I definitely. Our relationship is sometimes reversed.
Who's molding who more?
Because a lot of times it's, you know, not to be sexist, but a lot of times I feel like it's the woman who is the one that is pushing the button of the man, and the man's like, damn it, Jennifer, I'm sick of this. I'm the one who actually sometimes where some she says, Kyle, I mean, do you have to make a comment about everything? I'm like, you know what?
Oh, you're the nagger.
I am.
In the relationship.
I am.
You're the person that's going to get complaining.
I have been called the naggy one at times.
Wow.
And that's what I got to shut up. I'm like, you know what? You have a point. I have something to say about everything.
Strofe's definitely the nagger.
No.
Strofe is
the I don't complain about anything.
Oh, that's right. She owns you.
So she coaches you up, Strofe.
Did you see the fear in his voice yesterday?
I heard her with the apartment. I heard her say something. And it was spotless, my dad. I heard her say something today. She said he got his hair cut. The apartment was spotless. It's beautiful when a man is just a little bit terrified of you.
And I said, you're right.
Wow. And I said, you're right.
No, of course you did. Some men like that. They have a name for them. But I don't want to say it on
Dominatrix?
No. It's a C word.
Oh, Kyle.
I don't know what that is.
Kyle!
It rhymes with puck.
Kyle!
No, too far. All right. We're back now.
That's strophe!
Kyle!
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
Is one of the things that your girlfriend gets upset with is you interrupting her like this?
Probably.
I just complimented you. What the hell?
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You're in luck, folks. You're in luck. Screaming Sicilian frozen pizza. It's premium, and it's on sale for $5.99 at Festival Foods through the 23rd. That's $5.99 for all the best Screaming Sicilians in the world. Tons of toppings and that secret tomato recipe sauce that will have you screaming. Frozen Pizza Friday tomorrow. Back in the household, not out of town. Boss Hog, a Cheez-It, a Thin and Crispy. Every different kind of Palermo's pizza will be in the freezer because I want every option at my disposal on a Frozen Pizza Friday. And stay tuned for Frozen Pizza Friday giveaway on Kyle Brust Nortman tomorrow. Taste what all that screaming is about. So I've lowered my price.
For what?
We had the discussion about if you were, you know, given $10,000 a week.
Oh.
Get rid of your dog.
Yeah.
$520,000 a year. We kind of landed on you'd have to do it.
Yeah.
Woke up with poop 7 different places in the house this morning.
Oh no. Geez. Which one was it?
Besides the point, it was poor Bentley.
Which one is yours?
Poor
Bruce.
Rust house.
Oh, okay.
But they're both ours.
So he's talking about after the dog
pooped, giving the dog Bentley away.
No, I've actually.
Oh, don't lie.
No,
I've grown more patience.
Okay.
I've grown more patience. Like, it kind of was like a
stepchild.
Not a red flag, like a non-negotiable. Like,
okay.
But not a non-negotiable, like one of those.
Okay, not a red flag, not a non-negotiable. Come on, we're going to get the word now.
The dog sheds.
Oh.
And I didn't do shedding. I didn't do it. And now she's more bothered by the shedding than I am. It doesn't bother me at all.
I hate it spending the night at dog shedder houses.
Yeah.
I got hair everywhere.
But this dog, then, before we're about to leave the house, is pooping blood.
Oh no.
I had to go to the ER. Yeah, bad sign. I know.
Insurance?
First visit was free at this ER.
Oh.
So shout out them. But if it still goes bad, we got to get x-rays. And then we start getting expensive.
Man, yeah. Is this the one that ate the bones, the chicken bones?
Yes.
What's wrong with this dog?
I don't know. So I'm saying 10,000, 1,000 a week. I mean, like, I think my wife would be on board, too.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
Because you're not talking about.
Kids up at 5:30, take care. And then we're cleaning up poop and then more poop and then poop and then poop. Canceling appointments. Couldn't go to the dentist. She couldn't go to her appointment.
Y'all missed the dentist appointment?
I missed the dentist.
Well, that's more money. You can't miss a dentist appointment. They're going to charge you.
Oh, I know the dentist.
Oh, okay. All right.
Got to know somebody. So
hey, hold on a minute.
What?
You know the dentist?
I know the people that own the dental practice. Yeah.
He goes to a private practice. I don't know why he's making it seem so flat.
But doesn't everybody know their dentist?
I mean, yeah, like, I was going to say, don't you get to know your
Oh, you know what? Personal. What do you?
What is like that?
Hang
hours.
Oh, yeah. You hang out outside.
They were
of
at
the
our
appointment.
Wedding. They were at
oh,
our
wow.
wedding.
Wow. Okay. Yes.
Ben,
that is
you make friends with all the people that are important, don't you? He's got a guy.
It's what he's good
got at. A guy. That, car guy.
Was that not
there.
The thesis of Greg Scalzo's best man speech?
I guess so.
He's got the gas station guy.
The owner of the company was there.
Yeah,
your,
he smells
content
power.
Your boss was there. Your direct boss was there. Your dang car guy was there. All you do is
Gina Della from Pella.
All you do. I can smell your boo-boo breath all the way from over here. All that butt-kissing you.
Sounds like you're a little jealous.
No,
don't hate the play, hate the game.
Listen, I ain't part of that gang. I stand on business. I don't need to kiss nobody.
I stand on business.
It doesn't hurt to do a little bit.
Mm-mm.
No,
I'll change the voice. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, see, you play the game
a little bit.
You got to play the game. But you play the game, so don't hit the player.
Yeah, but back to this dog though. This is what I tell you. It's not worth having it. Look, the dog ruined your whole morning.
So I've gone from I can't go a day in my life without a dog in my life to when they both go, life might be better.
You already talking about
Benjamin.
Both going. Oh, they but Peter.
I'm saying,
800-990-3776. Tell us why Ben is a dog hater.
No,
he's a terrible human being.
I'm gonna give him the best stroke.
No, terrible. First you take out Strofe yesterday. Yeah. Now you're taking out Bruce and Billy.
Yeah.
You hate dogs.
You
Kyle.
Praying on a downfall. He just looking at him. He saw Billy was pooping. He took him to the vet. He said,
Are you sure this is fixable?
The pills can help. Are you sure?
How much for a death sentence?
No. So this reminds me of like when parents, you know, they're looking forward to the empty nesters. They can go live their life.
Empty nesters are going. They're leaving the nest, not going to doggy heaven.
So in 6-7 years, like what will my wife and our kids future kids look like?
You're going to get a new dog. The problem is
No.
6 or 7 years.
No, I'm not.
That's a long way.
Is it bad that I'm kind of counting down?
Yeah. I don't know why. You're raising your kid with a dog, so they're going to grow up with a dog. The dog's going to die. You're all going to cry around the dog before it dies. And then what are you going to want? The kids are going to say,
that's a problem.
I just want to know.
Who's training the dog? Picking up the dog poo?
You.
I know. That's why I'm saying.
It'll be a jarring moment for your kids to have their doggy go to doggy heaven, and then they're going to be crying, please, daddy, please. All I want is a doggy. You're going to get one, and then you're going to be in for another 15-year sentence. Yep.
And they got two of them. So when they lose one, they used to have two. So when they go down to one, it's already going to be weird. And then they lose that one, they're going to be like,
never two again.
He's right.
Empty nesters, the worst part is one of the dogs needs a friend. They're lonely. And so then you got to get another dog. You're stuck. You're a dog. That's why you should never. My mom told me, Kyle, because the neighbor had a little litter of puppies. Kyle, don't you go see those puppies. What did I do? I'm going to go see the puppies. And what did I say? I want a dog. She said, Kyle, I told you don't go there.
Got a dog.
We had a dog for about a year and a half. Oh, and then I realized we're not a dog family. We're not. The dog, I told you, the dog wanted to run all the time. I didn't.
Lovingly, when you think about a dog, it's pretty crazy.
I didn't want to run.
No, I did not.
That's why you're sloppy.
That's why I'm fat, too.
It's an animal lives in your home. It's pretty wild when you think about it.
Only here.
No, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
The idea that an animal becomes your pet.
What is the food in Potawatomi?
No, it is. No, we haven't had it yet. We're going to have some.
The kitchen opens at 4.
Depending on where you live at, there's a guy I know out from Washington, and he came to the Midwest. He was like, this is so weird. Why is the dog sleeping in the house? Dogs are supposed to be outside. Mm. They're outside animals. So it's a
barn cat and a house cat.
I guess I just decided to have no cat.
A lot of response on the Carbless Talking text line. Get an African gray parrot. They're good for 85 plus years.
Ooh, hell no.
No, thank you.
Hell no.
It's cool, Ben. You'll get over it by traveling and loving not having to find a pet sitter. Word. And also, Thanksgiving, we got to get a sitter. We pay a per day price to watch dogs so we can go enjoy traveling somewhere. I know.
That's double the price.
I know.
I try to tell people, dogs is cute from a distance.
But then I'm getting it's too quiet in the house.
You don't have kids. Listen, your daughter is very close to making a lot of noise around that house. And then one day, Lord willing,
you should have seen her having the tantrum this morning.
Well,
can I put the sock on? No. Laying down, kicking the feet.
Oh,
I can't wait for Kyle to experience that.
Kyle gets tantrums.
You going to put that sock on?
Daddy got to go to work.
Stand up
business. So either socks or no socks, you choose.
We're back in 2 minutes. We'll see you shortly. Strofe's the glue who gives the show its dance.